Right, well, last week we started a new topic called New Year, New Beginning. Good topic for January, okay? So we're still on that. This is week two of New Year, New Beginning. So a wee quick summary of last week. Last week we said there are 365 days in a year, and as someone pointed out, there's 366 this year. So just keep your comments to yourself this week, because I'm going with 365, okay, in our normal year. And what we do every day affects our whole year. We looked at daily occurrences. Changing what we do daily will change our year. So having a new attitude or new thinking each day could equal a new year for us. This week we're going to talk about making every day count, all right? So every day our lives count, because every day helps to make up this new year. Every day is either a day closer to victory or it's a day closer to defeat. And it all depends on our attitude and our knowledge of God and what we have that day. We must get up in the morning and have the right attitude. Go to work with the right attitude. Face the other people in our family with the right attitude. Then speak out God's word into each and every one of our days. We need to speak the word of God into the day, just as we're beginning. Speaking what God says about us and not what the enemy says will equal a good new year. Too many times we're repeating what the enemy's whispered into our head. But what if we don't know what God said about us and we haven't read his word lately, or we've forgotten that particular scripture? Well, that leaves us wide open to be robbed. We'd never leave our house wide open. None of us would do that, except I did it once. So I have to bring a wee story here. When Neil and I were first married, we lived in a small ground floor unit, and it had two doors. It had one door right at the front that faced the street, and it had one door at the side where we parked our car. So I went off to work this day. Sometimes I had the car, sometimes I didn't. So I went off to work, I had the car, and I came back. I finished work before Neil, he was getting a lift home, and I came back late afternoon, drove the car down the side of the house. The front door was looked normal. Drove down the side of this little unit that we were in and parked the car and got out of the car, and the door was wide open. The door to the side door to our unit was completely wide open. It wasn't even ajar. It wasn't that it was unlocked. It was fully open and hinged open. And I'm like, oh my goodness. The fear that comes on you, you know, Did I leave the door open? Have we been robbed? Is a thief still in the house? I was looking for a big stick in case I had to go in and hit someone over the head with it, you know? And I prayed frantically and very slowly went into the house shouting, I'm home, I'm home, is there anybody here? And the place was only a two-bedroom unit. The place was empty, which meant I had gone to work and left the side door wide open. I had left it completely open. It was a stupid thing to do, but it was a mistake. And yet we leave our lives wide open. Open to every negative thought. We listen to every negative comment, and sometimes we get the hammer and chisel out and hammer it into our heart, what that person said about us 10 years ago or 20 years ago. All the negative comments that people throw at us, we let it affect us. Not just for that day, but for that year and for years to come. You know, leaving the door wide open on our unit was stupidity on my part, but leaving our lives wide open to the enemy is stupidity. We don't guard our day or our life, and that leaves us our year wide open to attack. Now, you all know the scripture, John 10:10, and it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his sole purpose. It's only to steal from us, to rob us of the good things, to rob us of our joy and our peace and our sense of being loved by God. And he'll do it every day of the year if we let him. You know, if we get up and we've had a negative morning and bad time at work, he will come and he'll rob us of that morning. And if we let him have the morning, he'll push his luck and try and rob us of the whole day. And if we let him rob us of the whole day and we go round and round in our head, well, he said and she said and they did and they didn't do, and we repeat all of the negatives of the circumstances, and we allow him to rob us of the day, then he'll keep pushing till he's robbed us of the week. And if he can rob our week, he'll push and push until he's robbed us of 52 weeks. And everyone knows that makes up a new year. It does, Linda. There's not an extra week this year, okay? It makes up the whole year. Can we see how important it is to guard every single one of our 365 days? Because every single one of them is up for grabs. And either we grab hold of them or the enemy does. Those are the only two choices. Either we are in control of our day or we let someone else control it by something that they've said and done. But I've got good news today. God wants to help us protect our day. And the Bible says that God's provided armor to protect us. Now, while I was preparing this, God gave me a picture of a whole set of folded armor. You know, it might be the helmet and the rifle and maybe the boots and the trousers and the jacket and everything. It's all neatly folded. And it's sitting up there on the shelf in the storeroom, you know, in the Army and Navy store or wherever you buy uniforms these days, you know. Showing my age there, I don't think they exist anymore. So the uniform was folded and it was on a shelf. But it's no use to us sitting on the shelf. The soldier, it's no use to protecting the soldier if the uniform is neatly folded, gathering dust on a shelf. And also, if it's sitting there, it can be stolen. And I felt God saying to me, when I saw this armor all sitting in this lovely little neat folded pile, I felt God saying, Sandra, you need to wear it so no one can steal it. If we've got something on, it's much harder for someone to steal it if we're actually wearing it. Armor's no good to anyone while it's sitting on the shelf. We need to put it on. So today we're going to look at the armor of God. And it's in Ephesians 6 and verse 13. And this is what it says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, sometimes every day can seem like a battle, and quite often the battle's in our mind with our thoughts, with everything that someone said or not said to us. And we need to be prepared to resist the battle. We need to have that armor. We need to put on God's armor because his armor covers us from head to toe. Every part of us is covered. So I want to quickly just go through all the pieces of armor that were mentioned there. There's six different things. First of all, the helmet of salvation. Well, if I had a massive big helmet here and I stuck it on my head and you were throwing spears at me, at least my head is protected. So I've got the helmet on to protect my mind. My thoughts are safe if they're under God's helmet. What puts that helmet on? It is believing what God has said about us and not what others have said. So whatever others have said, we need to let it go. We need to give it to God and say, I don't want to listen to it. I don't want this in my mind anymore. So every day I'm going to protect my mind with the truth of God in Jesus' name. So that's the first thing we need to do. Then there's the breastplate. Well, that's a bit like putting on a bulletproof vest. It goes right round the middle here. It goes all over our heart area and our chest area. And obviously, it's going to cover our heart and protect all of our feelings. Feelings can be wonderful. And feelings can be a complete pain in the neck. You know, because you just can't get over them or get rid of them. And so we need to protect our heart. But again, we can only protect our heart if we are believing God. Folks, if God didn't say it, don't believe it. Don't carry it around with you for years. Don't stick it in our little handbag or man bag and carry it around. They said I'm not good enough. They said I'm not good enough. Then a year later, they said I'm not good enough. We carry around all of these negatives, and it only proves that we are not wearing the breastplate of righteousness to protect our emotions. The third thing was the shield of faith. And holding up a shield of faith means we trust God. When all the flaming arrows and all the attack of the enemy comes against us, we can stand in faith because our trust is in Him and in the promises of His word. And the shield of faith is just not a little dinner plate size thing. I picture one of these big Roman shields, you know, the ones that are at least 4 feet high and about maybe almost a meter curved round, a massive big shield, and we can stand behind it. But we're only going to be protected by that if we're believing the truth of God. It's a shield of faith, and faith says, I trust God. If we're not trusting God, we've not got the shield up. You know, we're not holding on to it. And then we had the sword of the Spirit. Number four, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Speaking God's word is the only thing that will cut down the lies of the enemy. If the enemy says God's forgotten, you cut down that lie and say, He'll never leave me or forsake me. If the enemy says you're not going to be healed, cut down that lie and say, by His stripes, I have been healed. The word of God has an answer for every negative in our lives. Every situation we're facing, you know, if we need a new job, then the enemy comes along and says, God's never going to get you a new job at your age. We just say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Can you see how amazing the sword of the Spirit is? How it just cuts down every negative. And then it mentions the shoes of peace. You know, we can walk in peace every single day. You can bet your bottom dollar one of the things the enemy wants to come and steal from you is your peace. That's what he wants to come and steal, your peace and your joy. If you've not got peace and you've not got joy, then you're not really entering in to the truth of God. So we can walk in peace every day because God's with us every day. He's our shield if we have faith in Him. And then it talks about the belt of truth. And wearing this means we are believing God's truth, not what the enemy says. So we can get up in the morning, it could take 1 minute as you're doing it, you can do it as you're shampooing your hair there, you know. You can say, I'm wearing the helmet of salvation today. I'm going to believe I'm saved. I'm going to believe I'm good enough. I'm wearing the breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to let anyone come in and steal from my emotions today. If they say something negative, I'm going to say that's their problem and I'm not going to make it mine. I'm going to wear that belt of truth and I'm going to believe every true thing in the word of God about me and not the lies. I'm going to take up my shield of faith and I'm going to stand in faith that God cares about every detail of my life. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and I'm going to use every scripture I know from Sunday school onwards to cut down the lies of the enemy, and I'm going to walk in peace today. Now, I don't know if that took 30 seconds. And it's not a religious ritual. It's believing. We're standing in power. It's believing who we are. It's believing the song we sung today, I'm filled with anointing. My cup's running over. It's believing all those words. When I was preparing this, I felt God give me another picture. And it was a picture of the belt of truth. Now, I didn't picture one of these little fashion belts, you know, that are maybe 2 centimeters high. I was picturing one of these belts that the world heavyweight champion wins in the ring. You know, they're about 30 centimeters high. They've got a massive big gold medallion on the front. They go all the way around the back and clip up the back. It's almost a back brace, isn't it? These are massive. And so I just pictured the belt of truth, and it was huge. And what I noticed about it was it made a complete circle all the way around us. So if we're wearing the truth, we are completely surrounded by what God wants to do in our lives and for our lives, which means any lies can't get in and harm us. So if someone comes up to me and they say something that's a lie from the enemy, and I'm wearing my belt of truth, I'm going, whoa, stop right there. I refuse that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to accept that. I'm just wanting the truth. Yeah, I just want the truth of God. So we need to picture something enormous, not a tiny little thing with a wee buckle on it. This is massive. It's a piece of armor. It's almost armor plated around the middle. So here's the revelation from that. Are you ready for a revelation today? Brenda's ready for a revelation. God's truth is a complete circle of protection. So are we wearing it? Are we wearing it every day? Or are we just sitting there believing the lies that God's not going to do for us what we'd really love him to do? It is a complete circle of protection. But it only works if we believe it. It only works if we wear the belt of truth. Because if we're not believing the truth, we've left it sitting on the shelf. It's one of the most important pieces of armor. They're all important, but this one's awesome. This is the one I'm excited about today. I want us to note this, that not wearing a belt on our trousers will mean our trousers might fall off. And that would leave us exposed and vulnerable. But not wearing God's belt of truth leaves us exposed and vulnerable to every negative word that life throws at in our direction. Every negative word. No one would like to think that if they forgot their belt, their trousers would end up down at their ankles. I don't know what might happen if we forget to wear the belt of truth. It's so important to be walking every day in that truth. I'm filled with anointing. You get up in the morning, you feel rubbish. You look in the mirror, you feel worse. Your hair's going in 20 different directions. 3 new wrinkles appeared overnight. I'm filled with anointing. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's running over. I'm the power of God is in me. What does it matter what the mirror says? You know, you can look at someone, it doesn't matter how old they are, you can see the power of God in that person. You can see whether they believe it or not. You can see whether they're wearing their belt of truth. People will come up to you just because they know you're carrying something in God. It's the anointing. It's all of these pieces of armor. It's the belt of truth. I also had another picture when I was preparing this, and I saw someone, and they were just standing, and negative words were coming out of their mouth. Negative words were pouring over their life, either from their own mouth or from other people's mouths. And this is what I noticed in this vision that God gave me. I noticed that with every single word that was spoken, a piece of armor fell off the person and hit the deck. So as they're speaking these negative words, the helmet might fall off. And they continue to speak the negative words, the breastplate falls off. And they continue to speak the negative words, and all of a sudden they've dropped the sword of the Spirit. And the belt of truth, instead of being round their waist, is round their ankles. So every time we speak the negatives, we are reinforcing them, and we are laying down the armor. So here's my revelation here. By speaking negatively, we lay down our own armor. The enemy doesn't have to do anything. He's just put the thought in there. But the minute we believe it, we're not wearing God's truth. And the minute we speak it out, we are laying down our own armor, or it's literally falling off us. If we want to be protected by God, we must confess the things of God. I'm wearing his armor. I'm filled with anointing. My cup runs over. I don't care how many wrinkles there are today. Only then will the enemy be unable to steal our armor and our protection. Now, the very next scripture to what we just read, we read Ephesians 6, 13 to 17. This is Ephesians 6, 18. It's the very next scripture. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. My friend used to say, be alert. Your country needs alerts. That's a wee pathetic joke there. Never mind. Folks, we must stay alert. Be ready for anything, every single day. You know, I already showed you how quick it is. 30 seconds, puts on that spiritual armor. It's like going out the door without brushing your teeth in the morning. You don't feel right for the rest of the day. Put on that spiritual armor, it takes 30 seconds. If you forget or you're driving the car and you can't concentrate that hard, then here is a really, really quick way to put on the armor. And it's this, pray in tongues. Just start praying in tongues. Because the minute you start praying in tongues, you are speaking the anointing of Almighty God out of your mouth. You are believing who you are. You know you're filled with anointing because it's pouring out your belly. And you're breaking all of these negatives off of your life. You know, we need to picture the armor protecting us. Speaking in tongues brings the answer before something even happens. So if you pray in tongues on your way to work, and then all of a sudden at 10 o'clock in the morning, something goes pear-shaped in the boardroom, you're already prepared for that. You're already released the anointing for that situation. So praying in tongues is just like this Zoom A to Z way of covering yourself with the armor of God. If we do that, we will be protected every day of the year. We don't know what might happen when we get out of bed each day. We've got no idea what will happen after we leave the house or, you know, the alarm goes off. But we can still be prepared for it. You can spend a minute praying in tongues before your feet even hit the floor in the morning. Our job is to be prepared for our life. No one else can do it for you. No one else can do it for me. I just want to quickly look at just a couple of just wee characters from the Old Testament. I think they're all the Old Testament, yeah. So we know about Ruth, and Ruth was widowed. When Ruth was widowed, she didn't know what was going to happen next. She had no idea what was going to happen next. All she knew that she was walking through this horrendous valley of grief and widowhood, and there was a famine in the land, and there was hardly any food. But God knew. God knew one day she'd marry again. God knew she'd marry Boaz, and that they'd have a son called Obed, and he'd have a son called Jesse, and he'd have a son called David. Ruth had no idea when she was going through this difficult time that one day she'd become part of a whole new family, and it was the family of Jesus Christ, because Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David himself. She was his great-grandmother, King David. Out of the line of David came Jesus. And then there's Joseph. Joseph had a family, weren't too crash hot, but they took him and they threw Joseph in a pit. That wasn't a great day for Joseph. Then he had another bad hair day because then he was sold as a slave. And that didn't go too great either after a while because then he got flung in jail. And as Joseph's going through all of these things and he's going in the pit and he's going into slavery and he's getting flung in jail, and he might have been tempted to believe that God had forgotten him. He might have been tempted to believe that it was all over and done with and there was nothing else that God was going to do for him. But one day he became the ruler of Egypt. And God knew all along that was preparation and that's what was going to happen. You know, when David went to see his brothers, he didn't know that day when he got out of bed that he'd be facing a giant. So David just got up as usual, put the coffee machine on, you know, made himself a nice coffee, had a nice wee fried breakfast, kept himself busy with all of that, fed the sheep, did the usual thing, made a wee packed lunch, went to visit his brothers, oh yes, and killed a giant. Killed Goliath. He'd no idea in the morning what was going to happen. But here is my revelation from all of that. If you don't go home with anything else today, you need to go home with this one sentence, okay? This is the Bobby Dazzler, okay? David wasn't expecting what happened, but he was prepared. He was prepared. He spent every day of his life preparing for it. He knew how to look after the sheep. He knew how to kill the bears. He knew how to kill the lions. He'd done all of that, and this giant was nothing to him. He's going, I'm bringing you down, and I know how to do it, because I've been doing it for the last 10 or 15 years with the sheep. He was prepared. He wasn't expecting what happened that day, but he was prepared. Folks, don't be unprepared for your day. Don't be unprepared for our year. Put on the armor that God has given us. Speak in tongues and believe we are filled with anointing. You can see that song has really spoken to me today. We're filled with anointing. It's the only way to make the most of all 365 days that we have got this year. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So first of all, it says, throw off whatever's hindering you. Could I just put it to you right now that one of the biggest hindrances that we will ever face in our lives is the lies of the enemy and the negative comments from other people that become lies in our mind that create a battlefield that we need armor for. Thinking we're not good enough, thinking we're not spiritual enough, we're too old, and if that, he doesn't get us with that, we're too young. I'm going to put myself in the too young bracket. Make of that what you want. Thinking God's got nothing for us. He might have a plan for you, but he's not got a plan for me. Lies like that will cripple us and keep us from running our race. They'll keep us from knowing who we are and what God has called us to do. We will wander from day to day, week to week, and year to year, not knowing who we are and not knowing that we are in a preparation time for whatever it is that's up ahead. We should be getting excited about being prepared. I don't know how many lions and bears David had to kill. Maybe he was chalking them off on a cave wall going, 125, 126. How many more lions have I got to kill, Lord, to protect these sheep? But he was in preparation. And he didn't give up once. God's got a plan for every single one of us for every new year, for this new year. He's got a plan to make every single day count. And we can make it happen. We can make each day count for something. We don't have to just sit back and go, that's another day done, not seen the answer yet. That's another day done, not seen the answer yet. Make that day count. What is it I'm supposed to learn today? It doesn't have to be a big thing. Little things change lives too. I think I shared this story recently, but we were on a train sometime before Christmas, so fairly recently we were on a train, and it was crowded, it was a busy time of day, and a man offered me a seat. I don't know when the last time anyone offered me their seat, so I couldn't work out if I looked old or pregnant. But this man offered me a seat, so clearly I wasn't maybe looking too great that day. But it was just wonderful because my feet were aching, you know? And this man offered me his seat. It was such a small thing, perhaps, to this man. It meant the world to my feet. So whether it's offering someone a lift or sending a text or just saying thank you or receiving a gift from someone, we all find it so much easier to give than to receive. It's a small thing, but it can change someone's day.
This example happened years ago when I was teaching, long before I was married. And normally in my lunch hour, I would have books to mark or just lots of planning to do. But this day, I just needed to get out of the school. I needed to just get a little bit of space to myself. So I walked down to a local cafe just to have a sandwich for lunch. And in walked a very old, grey-haired lady, and I still remember she had on a beautiful cotton dress with pink flowers all over it, and she sat down to have her lunch all on her own. And as I was eating my lunch and watching her, I just felt as if God was saying to me, go and tell her that she's beautiful. So I struggled with this thought the whole time I made my sandwich, and finally I decided on my way out of the cafe I would do that. So I went over to this old lady and I said, I just feel God's telling me to tell you that you look beautiful. And she just gave me a little smile and I left the cafe. Now, I don't know what difference that made in her life. All I know is she was having lunch on her own. Maybe she was going back to a house on her own. Maybe it was an empty house with no one in it. My little comment that God thought she looked beautiful may have made a little difference in her life, but it may have meant the world to her. It may have made a huge difference. And it was such a small effort on my part to go over to this old lady and tell her that God thought she looked beautiful. So here's my prophetic word for us today, and it's this: you make every day count. God is saying to us, you go and do something about it. Whatever the situation is, whatever's happening in our lives, we do have a responsibility. We can act in the middle of the circumstances, even if our actions are just to praise God in the middle of our circumstances. And if you don't know what you're called to do, help someone else do their calling. You know, in this church, there are enough jobs to go around for everyone to feel part of it. Everyone can make some food. Everyone can take their turn on the laptop or with whatever ministries there are. There's lots of things that need to be done. You know, there's a race marked out for all of us. There are plenty jobs to go around. I also had a vision when I was preparing this, and I saw God with a rolled up document in his hand, like a blueprint, but I think it, or a map, and it was rolled up in his hand. And I felt that God wanted to say to someone today, he will show you his plan in his time. But in the meantime, you can help others without expecting anything in return. You can do something nice for someone else. In the meantime, you can just persevere through the preparation time, all the preparation that needs to take place, the preparation that David had, the preparation that Joseph had before he became ruler of Egypt. All of that was preparation. Now, the second part of the same scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this: let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, life's meant to be a race. It's not a dawdle or a plod. We're not meant to take it lying down. We're meant to run it. We're meant to run with a lit torch for God. We're meant to approach life with enthusiasm and hope and zeal. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. The Amplified puts it this way: be burning with the Spirit. Did you know that we can be set on fire every day by the power of the Holy Spirit? You might say, well, how? You know, by setting our spirit on fire, by the closer we get to God. The closer we get to God, the warmer we get. Being in the presence of God will set you on fire for Him. It will lift the spirits on the inside of you. Spending time with God is a no-brainer if we want to be on fire for Him. Here's a challenge for all of us this week, and it's this: aim to set our day on fire, and we just might set our year on fire. Just ask yourself, what can I do today that would make me more excited about God? What can I do today that would allow God to use me and flow through me? Is there someone I can help? Is there a song I can sing? Is there a scripture I can confess over my life? We need to do something about our situation. I read this in my daily reading. A race towards the finish line has a different sense of purpose and urgency than a jog around the block. Folks, every day will count so much more if we can have a sense of purpose and urgency. Whether we send someone a text, cook them a meal, take out the rubbish bins, bring in the rubbish bins, let's do it for God, and let's do it with a sense of purpose and a smile. You know, years ago, I worked with a janitor, and I'm quite happy to name that janitor. His name was Brian, and Brian worked at our school, and he also worked at another school, and he worked between the two schools at one point. He had both schools. Brian was the happiest janitor in the world. Schools were fighting each other to get Brian to be their janitor. And at the end of term or the Christmas break, there it was, present upon present upon present, all lined up against the school wall while Brian's doing his lollipop crossing with the children. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there were meters of present bags, several meters of present bags, all lined up against the school wall because the kids loved Brian, the parents loved Brian. He'd go around your classroom with the vacuum cleaner, whistling as he went, always a joke, always a smile, always willing to help and lend a hand. He was running his race with a sense of purpose and a smile on his dial. He was not the class teacher. He was not the head teacher. He was the janitor. And everyone just loved him. The third thing, and the final thing that we learn from that scripture in Hebrews 12 is this, that it says to run with perseverance. In other words, don't give up. If Monday didn't go well, you've still got Tuesday. You know, if Wednesday didn't go well, don't worry, Friday's on its way. If January isn't looking too great at the moment, there's always February. Perseverance every day. Don't give in, don't believe the lies anymore, and certainly don't speak the lies out of your mouth. If the enemy gets our morning, don't give him our afternoon as well. Just shake it off. You know, I could break into song right now, shake it off, but I don't think it would do the song much justice. Only by making every day count can we make our year count. And making our year count starts today. Thank you so much for listening.